My Muscle Project. Welcome back to this episode of The After Show. I love The After Show. Okay, so today we've got some listener questions. We've got some good ones. We got one on sleep. We've got one on... What's the other thing that we're talking about?
We had another good question actually come in about when a coach is ready to become a remote coach.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, but before I want to get into that, man, I had such a good time reading off one of my quotes last time from the James Clear, Tommy Cabot's book. I think it's one of the best reads that anyone... And I know, look, you might not be much of a reader, but if you pick up anything this year and finish it before the end of 2019, pick up this book. It's going to be definitely one of the most helpful, especially because it's really timely. He talks about when the right time to make a change is. He's not like, oh, you know, you can start any day. Technically, you can, but he says when you choose like Mondays and the first of the month and significant events, your hope is higher and hope like feeds the initial motivation that you need to kick something off, so you're more likely to be successful. So one of the things he references in the book, he talks about this study where there's three groups. I think the study was done in maybe Sweden or Switzerland or something. It doesn't really matter. Anyway, so the three groups were all told to... They were all being basically trying different ways to get the groups to complete more exercise. And the first group was basically just told to increase the amount of exercise that they were doing. The second group was shown educational videos around coronary heart disease and the benefits of exercise, so educational stuff to motivate them. And then the third group was shown educational, the same motivation content, so they're like the motivation is equally as high. And then they were told that the times that they have to exercise, the times they wanted to train, they had to put in the day, the time, and the location every time to do the sessions. Now, the first group and the second group went 30 to 35% of the group trained one time a week. The third group trained 92 to 95% of the group trained one times a week. So nearly a threefold increase in their ability to train at least once a week. When the third group put in the day, time, and location. And it's really interesting how James, he breaks down the psychology behind when you form a habit and how you get yourself to do it. And he's like, people think that they're just going to start and do something when they find the time or when it's going to happen. He goes, no, what you need to do is have absolutely... The thing that stops people from achieving habits is clarity, having absolute clarity. You need to have completely predetermined the entire schedule around when you're going to start this new thing and how it's going to happen and where it's going to happen. And when you take all that ambiguity out of it and you make it so clear, he's like, all you have to do is arrive at the location and arrive at the time of day and the place, and it's like, you know what to do. Same way when you rock up to coach class at 6 a.m., like there's one thing you know to do, like you're coaching class at 6 a.m. It's not whenever you coach class. Yeah. It's that specific time, that day, and what you have to do. And you just need to apply that same logic to anything that you want to try. So,
but I think that even the last point, it's like the one people can often miss as well is what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Like that's still a critical part. Like you need to know, not on Monday, but like literally on whatever, on Sunday, when you turn up at the gym at that time, what's the first exercise I'm going to do? That makes such a big difference to your training.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you need as much clarity as possible. Clarity is what... lack of clarity is what destroys people's ability to form habits. That's what he's saying. It's very true. So, yeah, I think as specific as you can get, the better it is. So, like, one of the habits that I'm taking out, it almost made me think I'm reading this book. I'm like, how cool would it be? And I don't know, maybe you guys can send us in a message if you think this is a good idea. But at the start of every month, we try, like, a new health and fitness habit. It's like, you know, maybe for the month of November, it's like, all right, cool, we're taking like, I don't know, ice baths or some shit, or I don't know, cold showers or whatever. So it's like a cold shower every day for 30 minutes, or, oh, we all know the benefits of meditating, but we're not consistent. All right, My Muscle Project, like for every day in the month of December, we're going to meditate for 10 minutes.
Well, I thought we could just bring out a fifth show where we meditate on air.
Guided meditation.
20 minutes.
Guided meditation. Breathe.
No, guided.
Breathe.
Just listening to us.
Oh, just listen to
us. Just listening.
Yeah. So, I don't know, could be a good idea. But anyway, one habit that I've set myself for this month, and I started it, but then I fell off a little bit, but now I've taken all the ambiguity of when I'm going to do it, is learning to touch type, speed type.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So this is what I've got. I've got every... So I need to make it as frictionless as possible. So it's 6:30 every morning at from 6:30 to 6:45 a.m. Except for weekends, because I knew that it's, I don't want to force myself to do it on weekends. I can if I want, but usually I'm not up at that time. For 15 minutes, I sit down and I set my clock and I do the lessons on the computer. So that is how I'm going to do that. And let's see how it goes. So far, I'm 3 days in, so it's been going well.
Yeah, I haven't found the same thing. I remember when I like changed my diet, I feel like how I've set my diet up now is the best I've ever had it. And the difference was, it was having like exact clarity over like every single meal for the entire week, but also clarity on how the preparation for the meals would go. Because sometimes you're like, oh, this is, I know what I'm going to eat, but then it like, say, maybe relies on you cooking the food, but you don't really know when you're going to cook the food.
Mm.
So then something comes in the way, you don't cook it, and then the whole week's fucked.
Yeah.
You know, and you miss out on all. So like, the more clear you can get, be like, I know, like, this is the system of like every single piece of this puzzle coming together. It just becomes like exponentially more likely it's going to happen.
Well, I think it also even ties into happiness and job satisfaction. So, sorry, into happiness. And part of that is job satisfaction. So, I read a paper once where they did basically a big research survey of job satisfaction. And they were looking for basically the things that contribute to the least amount of job satisfaction and the most amount of job satisfaction. And on two sides of the same coin, but basically the reason that people are not satisfied with their work is when they have a lack of clarity as to what to do. When they don't have a very clear set of tasks as to what their role is and what they're supposed to do. And, you know, the performance measurements and the indicators to show that, you did your job and you did it successfully. Like, obviously, you want clarity on what you're doing, but you also want to know, is how I did that, is it good? Is it getting me a good result? So, having those two components, right? Having, this is exactly what I need to do, when you do it, how often you need to do it, and I need to see this result. When people had that, and also when, you know, when this is not a good result, job satisfaction was like exponentially higher.
Yeah.
So any ambiguity around, like, people sitting in the corporate world, sitting at the desk going, oh, I don't really know what to do, and if I work or not, I get paid anyway. Like, they really don't like that. People think it would be awesome. People hate that shit.
I'm going to add to your book list then. So you did Atomic Habits. I listened to a book a while ago, but it's still sitting in our Audible account if you want to listen to it.
Oh, yeah. I think we talked about it on the road trip.
Maybe, once. Yeah. Bullshit Jobs was a friend's recommendation. And it's honestly hilarious, the book. But it's because I've had some of these as well, you know, growing up. But it's like a catalog of like different people's experiences in bullshit jobs, and it's like a crazy high percentage of the population describes their job as like a bullshit job. Like, man, I don't actually have to really be here.
Mm.
Like, if I wasn't here, everything would be fine. Mm. It's like, that's basically what a bullshit job is. Like, it could just not exist and nothing would go wrong.
Yeah.
And it is so, so funny. Like, the descriptions of the things people do, they're like, man, I've been like, took up this crazy hobby that I do all day online, and like, I change my emails, so it looks like I'm doing emails, but I'm actually doing this. He's like, I've done that for like the last 4 years. He's like, I haven't worked in 4 years. It's unbelievable. So I would recommend that. Bullshit Jobs. I got the audiobook version. So good.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even to add on to that, I think it's why something like what I've found to be really effective with clients with their accountability is something like True Coach. And I think about how I've utilized it is because what it's doing is I'm giving them 100% specificity as to what they need to be doing. The sets, the reps, the exercises, how long it should take, how much rest to take, all this sort of stuff, right? And then they can take that, and this is for the clients, I mean, this is for remote clients, I guess, but this is also for this is for clients when they travel. So I can give them the workout, and all I need to know from them, and I hit them up ahead of time, I go, okay, first thing you do is you find the gym, the hotel gym, you take a video of it, you send it to me, and then you tell me what time of day it is, and I text them back the time of days that I expect to be done, and I put them in I put them in on those specific days. So then, okay, I need to find some time on a Tuesday, a Thursday, and a Friday this week at this hotel gym to do these three workouts. And taking out that ambiguity and having that clarity for them always gets done. Always gets done. If I was just like, hey, make sure you do a workout on your holiday, it's never going to get done. And obviously, True Coach just makes it super easy for us. I can pull from the library. So honestly, we just have a bunch of templates of hotel gym workouts.
Yeah.
Always light dumbbell workouts, squatting. There's always a bench. There's always a wall. There's always a BOSU ball. Just basic stuff like that. And it's just moving, right? You're on holidays. You're not trying to win exercise. You're just trying to do something to make yourself feel better about the shitload of booze and food that you're about to consume. And so that's just what I need. So I swipe that stuff in on my phone. Super easy.
Man, that's exactly the mistake I made, and this is why I'm now banned from doing this on holidays. We got to a resort in Bali, but we got there really late, right? So the buffet closed at 2. Had to be in okay. before 2, right? We arrived at 1:40.
Okay.
And then it's a break until like 7 to when it opens again. So I was like, oh, you have to make this buffet. I was like, oh, I really want to go to the gym and like do a workout before. So I went to the gym. So this now it's like 1:47. And I was like, I'm going to try, it's like an old CrossFit workout that it's like a really famous hotel Jason workout. Kleeper. And it's Jason Kleeper doing it. And I was like, cool, I'm going to put the video.
What is it again? 100 thrusters?
It's 100 hang dumbbell thrusters for time. Hang dumbbell thrusters at a lightweight. And it's burpees on the minute. Certain amount of burpees on the minute. I can't remember exactly
what
how many
is
it is.
Dumbbells?
Light. No, they're like, 14 kilos. Because like, it was pounds. I think it's like 14, 15 kilos. But it's 100 and you got burpees on them. I think it's like 8 burpees on the minute.
Okay. So basically your 2 best exercises.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, I think I can beat him on this. So I put the video up of him doing it. And then I like went when he started and tried to beat him in it. Anyway, I didn't beat him. And I was, so I finished at like 1:58. And we have to like run into the buffet after
a minute
this.
58.
No, so 1:58 was the time. Right. I had to be in by 2 to the buffet.
How long does the workout take?
Oh, it took me like, so it took, I ended up being 2 minutes longer than him because I kind of, because you know with those workouts, once you get a bit behind, you get a lot behind because you're doing extra burpees.
Yeah.
So I think it took me like 8 minutes in the end, 9 minutes. And then I was just in this buffet, like so sick, like white in the face, like staff coming up to me, like, what is wrong with you? My girlfriend's like, why did you have to do this? Like right before we go to the buffet. I could obviously couldn't eat.
Yeah,
like my legs seizing up, like I'm trying to do a cool down in the middle of the buffet.
Sounds like something you would do.
Lesson I learned is those type of things are such a bad idea when you're traveling.
Those hardcore workouts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah, dude. You just need something
particularly
simple.
When you have to like move on to the next thing of your holiday very quickly afterwards.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You don't want to be suffering all day. No, it's not a good choice. Unless you're Jason Kleeper.
So I will never program that in True Coach. But yeah, we love it at the gym. And you can use our code truecoach.co/MMP. And you get, I think you get a month free and then you get a discount off your first month.
It's always in the description.
Yeah.
All right. Now, we've been saving this for a few weeks, but no. So we did 2 after shows ago. We said we had a massive announcement. This is not the massive announcement, but this is a big announcement. Raf, please inform the listeners.
Okay. So we are going to put a new segment into the show. Instead of putting your listener questions, you have the ability to put in your vote to what I will call my new son, and the top rated name, we're going to name the baby.
Have you picked out a name yet?
Nah, we haven't picked out a name. No, really, I'm more than welcome. We are having a baby. Well, my girlfriend's having it for me. And we're 16 weeks into the 39... When you listen to this, I think it's 17 weeks into the 39-week process. But yeah, I'm open to it. Haven't thought of a name. So if people want to type in their favorite name, not Junior. It's not going to be my name with Junior. Stupid idea.
Raf Junior.
But we will we'll consider it.
What's like your top 3 that you're considering now?
Really wanted to like do a silly black name like Deshaun.
Deshaun. And how'd that go down?
So poorly. Like to be honest, I've been ruled out of the decision-making process.
LeBron?
Which I think is fair because I think she's doing a lot harder work with this whole pregnancy than me.
I think LeBron.
No, I think we were thinking of like...
LeBron Friedman.
People are really going for like different, really like liberal names these days. Like people like they're trying to stay away from like just the really regular names. Like more, it's getting more and more popular. People
Wayless,
going,
James and
yeah,
Tim
exactly. Like people see close their kids like Jake or whatever. Not as a bad name, but it's just a common name. So I think we're probably going to go down that route of like a more unusual name.
Elon.
But I did, in preparation for it, I did some research on, like, there's a lot of band names. Quite common.
Really?
Yeah, do people call their kids, like, the stupidest shit in, like, the whole world.
Who bans them?
The countries. Each country has, the government's banned names. Like, one, there's, like, a blanket rule, like, you can't, I think in quite a few countries where, like, you can't have a name that's, like, guaranteed to cause ridicule and pain for the person.
You can't call them, like, the shit.
Like, there's one I found, it's, like, someone in New Zealand called their kid, like, something from Hawaii who loves to hula hoop in sunny days. Like, that was the whole name.
They just called the person a sentence.
Yeah, a whole sentence. A whole sentence was the name. And they're like, heaps of people.
I can see why we've got a ban list.
Heaps
now.
Of people call their names like Hitler and like Hitler's like right-hand man, stuff like that. Like, God. Nearly all of them get banned. Like, really, really stupid stuff. So, no, not going to call them one of those names. Or, like, spelling errors. Heaps of people have their kids with, like, spelling
you
errors.
You get it, right? People call you Ralph all the time. Or they're R-A-P-H. Like, it's difficult.
It's difficult. So, anyway, yeah, it's going to be interesting. And I think it will be a really good journey for the podcast as well. Because there's going to have to be some dad bod work to do when I, like, lose my sleep.
Yeah.
Go through a different change like that.
What are you like, most afraid of? What's, like, the number one thing that you keep getting stressed about the most?
Mm. Man, it is stressful because it's like it's a fucking oath. It's insane stressful. Change. What you realize straight away is that
huge responsibility.
All of a sudden, it's actually like a nutritional thing, right? So right now we're like having to decide on like, you know, what sort of injections we're gonna get and stuff like that, right? Like, do you obviously we're non-vaxxers, so we'll never vaccinate them. I'll get that needle, stick it back into the doctor's arm before they get it anywhere near my child.
He's joking. He's joking.
The baby's gonna be vegan, gluten-free, and non-vaccinated. But what you do notice is you start having to make like big health calls for somebody else for the first time. Like my whole life I've been like, oh, what am I going to do with my health and fitness?
Yeah.
Or whatever. But now you're like,
oh, often the most extreme thing.
But now they're like, oh, do you want like this, you know, you don't have to get this vaccination now. You can get it in like 4 months time, but like the different rates, but there's also complications if you do it early. So like, just like, you know, pros and cons of both. But it's just like unusual now
Is the vaccination the main point of like difficulty right now in terms of choices?
Yeah, choices around that. You know, there's choices around like which hospital to use, like how to give the birth, which is like, I mean, the part that's
The birth style, like standing style, or lying down or shit like that. Water.
But apparently, like most common now is like on all fours. Is like it's like meant to be like the healthiest. So there's like different ones like that. But then
where do you pick the research from? Where's like the best place to get it?
Yes, good question. We have done quite a bit. What you want to look for, because what we realized is that a lot of the stuff that's on the internet is for America.
Okay.
And America is really different to Australia. Like, just in terms of, like, just how the whole thing works and, like, you know, what scans you're meant to get. And like, it's really, really different over there. We're lucky here. We have, like, one of the best hospitals in the whole world, like, right around the corner from where we live. So, honestly, now it's more just been, like...
Best pregnancy hospital.
Yeah, pregnancy hospital, like, a women's hospital. It's been, like, there's, like, a few blogs that we followed. And then, honestly, just, like, a really good doctor that, like, obviously can advise you. Because if you try and take info from everywhere, it's, like...
It all cancels out to none, right? It's zeroes out.
Get the scan. Don't get the scan.
Yeah, it all zeroes out.
So, just, you know, you try and find, I think, somewhere, like, closer to the middle for that all. Mm. But, yeah, that's probably been the biggest one. Is you have to make, like, big calls for somebody else, which, like, haven't really done before.
And you just, you just worried, like, oh, what if I make the wrong call, right?
Yeah. Like, I have to decide if we're going to circumcise it or not.
Right.
I like that.
Him,
sorry. You know now. Yeah, him. So, there's, like, all different types of calls like that you have to make. Like, how early to start steroids. Like, obviously, I want to start straight away. Okay. I was like, how soon do you reckon I can put a Whoop band on the baby? Because I would love to know his recovery day one, where he's had nothing to do the day before.
I think the data would be fucked, though. Because it's, like, developing organs and shit. Like.
Yeah, well, I did look at another baby. I was like, this band's going to look really big on that baby's wrist.
It won't fit. And what are you, like, most excited about? Obviously, besides just having a son, but...
Yeah, I think... From what I've seen with other people, and, like, I got a book, which, like, a lot of guys' stories motivation. And stuff.
That's what I'm excited about.
No, it's, yeah, I think that one of the big ones is that you become... It's like when you have a business, right? You're, like, a leader for the people in, but it's, like, a way more extreme version of that. Like, you look back on when you were young and how much you looked up to your dad. You're like, that's going to be me
for
someone else. So, you, like, really got to step up.
That's cool.
Because someone is... Like, all the memories you had, it's going to be exactly the same.
Right.
Or slightly different, but it's going to be the same, like, how important it was, how massive your dad seemed. Obviously, I'm even bigger than my dad. I'm, like, jacked like crazy. But, yeah, that's going to be critical. I've got to be shredded the day he comes out.
Yeah, because the dad bod is a real thing.
Now, well, what I thought is, like, hey, the baby won't remember anything for the first 2 years, so I'm pretty much off the hook there. Mm. But once it hits, like, 3 or 4, those memories are going to be there.
He's got to know his dad, like, legit. He lifts and shit.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
So, in 3 years' time, I've still got to be big.
Man, speaking about young photos and looking up to people, I looked at some photos of my old self the other day. And, like, right around the time when I started lifting. And I'm, like, flexing in front of big bags of protein that I used to buy. And it just made me realize, like, holy shit. Supplements? I used to spend so much time, energy, research on supplements that the time I put into it now is nothing. Is nothing. And I think part of it is an accumulation of knowledge, realizing, okay, I don't have to spend this much time on it anymore because it doesn't matter. But, man, there was like a fucking shovel/cement mixer that I used to like scoop into these shakes. And I used to take them to the gym and I have these fond memories at Fitness First of filling up this giant fucking shaker. And it was always... Like, I always wished, because the standard shake is 600 mils, right? But there was so much fucking powder in these shakes that you could never get enough water.
Were they mass gainers?
Yeah.
Yeah, mass gainers used to have so much powder.
So much powder, right? But you could never get enough water in there to blend up the thing. And then even then, when you found a jug big enough to do it, you would shake that thing. Like, you could almost get an injury how hard you had to shake it. And I remember always thinking, oh, what is the best shaker? Because... When I used to see the spring balls, something always made me think, I feel like there's a better way than the spring ball, because it never used to be perfect.
Yeah.
Even with the spring ball thing in there, it didn't always break it up. Some came up with the mesh lid, so it had like the clip-in mesh, and you just like screw it into the lid and shake that. That sort of worked, but we ended up making a solution. Fucking 10 years later, it turns out True Protein, if you just put their whey in, it doesn't even need a spring.
Yeah.
Like, I haven't, it's been weird. I actually haven't had protein with just water in ages for whatever reason. I've always had it just in a shake or with something else. I just haven't had the time of day. But since the kitchen finished renovating, I've been coming home and having a shake with water. And I'm like, oh man, I don't have a spring. And I said, oh, fuck it. And I just, because the spring was the old habit from years ago. And then I just shook it up and it doesn't, you don't even need to shake it hard. Mm. Shit just blends as you pour the water in. It's crazy. So it's like the technology.
I used to spend so long trying to get the last little bits of protein that were dried. You know that, like the little bits of protein that are dried to the bottom of your shaker?
Yeah, yeah.
Like the water hasn't soaked it. Yeah, like, that's wasted protein.
Yeah, you're trying to like shake
do that. Anything to get rid of that.
And what you realize is it's funny because like obviously processing technology, not all companies, but companies like True has come so far in the manufacturing that it's like, oh, shakers are basically obsolete now. You could like stir that shit with a spoon and blend.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's like Nesquik.
Dude, it is such high quality. I don't know what they've done, but it's pretty good.
Mm.
Yeah. It's just their whey protein. Can't get old. TrueProtein.com.au. That's always in the description now. MyMustProject.com/partners. Get all our deals. True's like building a new website or something as well.
They're getting a new factory. Like they're just expanding a whole bunch.
Fuck, such a good company.
Yeah, and they're giving away a car. They do a lot.
Oh, that's right. They're giving away the Ranger.
Tell me if this is weird. I've lost so many shakers in our lifetime. You probably have as well. Dude, so many shakers. Like countless. There's probably an island somewhere of just plastic shakers that I've lost, or I've left protein in and they became so smelly I was too scared to open it, so I just threw it out.
Just bin that shit.
If you leave it for like 5 days, you've been a shaker. But I still have my very first protein shaker. And yeah, I don't lose it. And now I don't know why I didn't lose it. I just, for some reason, I never lost it. It's a really shitty shaker. It's like an old Masashi one. Probably bleeds so much BPA into whatever I put into it now because it's so, so old. But somehow, like, I never got it. It was a present. It was my first shaker. I was like, this is the key to getting massive. And like, I still have that shaker. Now, like, I'll never lose that shaker.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's like the more shakers you have, the more likely you are to lose all of them.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're like, I have one shaker, you never lose it.
Never lose it. So, I still got that shaker. So, I don't know if people are nostalgic at their first shaker, but a lot of nostalgia for me.
It's like that Activate Nutrients water bottle I always carry around. I have one glass water bottle that I got at one of their events. And since then, I haven't lost it. Keep a track of that shit. Okay. Let's jump into listener questions for this week.
So, we have a good one here to kick us off. I think it could cause some controversy.
Oh.
Coach.
That'd be weird for us.
Coach Eric Martinez. When do you think a coach is ready for the online remote model? Day one or day two? Doesn't actually say day one. Day two. Finishes that online remote model.
Okay, so I think this question has a few different things to unpack. First of all, I don't think every person is suited to the online model. Yes, obviously margins are really good online. I think we spoke about this with Jay Faruja. I'm pretty sure we spoke about online training versus in-person training as a coach. And yeah, I think you made a good point that for some people, you know, online's all the rave. You know, better margins, get, you know, impact more people, all that stuff. It's all true, but it's not for everyone.
No.
And I'll tell you what, if you are the kind of person that needs human interaction, which I'd say is like everyone, but you can't just sit at a computer at a cafe all day and just train clients online, you will get bored fast. Yeah. I mean, go figure that out for yourself. Like, by all means, you know, don't take my word for it, but I've done it and it's fucking boring. It's boring. Having human interaction is really good. I think where people burn out of the in-person stuff is they're just not training the clients that they like. That's the problem. They're not training the right clients, and there's nothing that'll burn you out faster than just training with people that just like aren't committed, or you don't get along with them, or like they always miss their payments, or they're just not good clients. That's what'll burn you out faster than online or in-person. So there's all in person, and then there's all online. And I think that for most people now, they're finding some nice balance in the middle for most people. They like to train, you know, the clients that they like in person at a very specific time of day. And then they handle quite a few clients online. I think that's a really good balance for a lot of people. Just because I think from a sustainability perspective and a lifestyle perspective, it gives you more freedom. It's like, okay, this, because, you know, some people, it is nice to be able to go somewhere and have some stuff to do at a certain time of the day to feel like, okay, I've ticked that thing off for the day, and you kind of get that interaction and you keep building those relationships. But then you also want some aspect of your day that's completely free, that you can do whatever you want with. Because you don't want it all taken up, that you have no freedom, but you don't want just all complete freedom, that you're just sitting around all day not knowing what you should do with your time. So there is a good balance there. I think most people will eventually figure out what the right balance is for them. And it's always going to change over time. There might be periods of your life where you're traveling a lot and you just want online clients. There might be a period of your life where you don't want online clients, you just want in person. So it's nice to have a bit of a balance. Now, the aspect of like, are you ready? I think you have to cut your teeth on the floor with in-person clients before you're ready to train clients online.
100%. Because what will happen is often the things that you're like scared of, it kind of seems like easy. Like, oh, if I just do it online, I won't need to like do that. So like, you know, maybe the tough conversation with a client or right. like dealing with different personalities. You're like, oh, if I was just online, I'm going to have to like do all this stuff. So like, I think you really miss out on a lot of that. And you miss out on some of like, you know, I think the sales skills you build in person as well. It's probably a better starting point. But I mean, in terms of skill level, they both have a high skill level. Both are challenging to do, you know, to train people online or in person.
Yeah, you just need different sort of skills.
I think also the person that asked the question, we're answering this as in like online individual coaching, right? We're not answering it in terms of like
selling.
Because sometimes it gets confusing between like people that just have a program. And that is something totally different.
Yeah.
Someone that is like, oh, I sell a program, like my booty program and my shoulders program, and you can sell millions of them if you're super famous.
Yeah.
This is different. We're talking about just like either training people online or training people in person.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. So, yeah, I think you need to really learn on the floor first, dealing with people, like problem solving, communication, like all those skills that you build there are skills that transfer online, but you can't build them online and then transfer them in person. It's like how we talked about two episodes ago, like the kids that are playing video games, like they don't learn the social skills through video games, and then they're able to become, you know, these famous pro e-games icons and, you know, do really good interviews. No, it's like has to happen the other way around. And that's why it works in sport, because these people are like very social in sport, they're on TV at a young age, high school, college, and then by the time they're in the pros, they can speak on TV. It's just a very different, it's online communication skills, you basically don't build any when you're working online. So I would encourage people, cut your teeth on the floor. Now, in terms of how long you should be on the floor for, man, I'd say if you work with like 100 clients over maybe 2 years, that's probably a really good base, because it's a big enough sample size where you've kind of had things work for some people and then try that same thing and have it not work on other people. And that's really the key with any sort of coaching, is to think you've found the answer, to have a little bit of knowledge, to apply it, have it work, and then try it again and have it not work. Because a little bit of knowledge is always dangerous, right? Because you think that, oh, okay, yeah, I figured it out. Like, paleo is the answer. It totally makes sense. Like, you eat what you're supposed to eat. It's for your gut health, this, that. And then only takes 3 or 4 clients to give it to. They don't stick to it. And then the ones that stick to it, they feel worse. And you're like, oh, shit. Turns out it's not the answer. But if you never went through that experience with coaching people, you read that book, it's fucking convincing. Rob Wolf's Paleo Solution, you're like, shit, this guy's onto it. Like, it makes sense, you know? But that little bit of knowledge is dangerous, because, you know, it only takes time to realize it doesn't work. And that's honestly the problem with people. Let's forget about online coaching. That's the problem with people who start a podcast and start giving advice. Now, I feel safe to come out here and give so much advice on the podcast because we've coached so many people. Right, we've worked with so many clients across our gyms. We've been in the gym industry for the last 5 years. I just hate the coaches that are out there consulting people and they've never had a gym, or they had a gym 5 or 6 years ago. I'm like, you can't relate anymore. You don't understand. You might have some good systems. You might have some stuff that works, but what it's really like to be a gym owner, you don't really understand, which is why I'm always happy and confident to give information on the podcast, because we're in it with people. We've been there. We still are there in many aspects. So it's like, it's the evidence, it's the knowledge, it's the combination of all things. I'm not trying to toot out a horn. I'm just saying any podcast or anyone giving out information, they should have all these things, right? They should have the theory, but they also should have the anecdote as well. And that's like the best combination.
Yeah, I think the last thing I'll probably mention is this. I think with all the rage of the online coaching, it's not like the in-person stuff is going anywhere.
No.
It's still popular, still more popular than ever has been before, because it's just different.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Okay, so next question we got is from Jess T. Al. She asks, If someone like me gets home from coaching after 10 p.m. and then is coaching again at 5 a.m. on the grind, it's impossible to get enough sleep. That's true. So I wondered, is it better to have a huge 2+ hour nap in the middle of the day, in brackets, when no clients or training, to make up the 8 hours? Or would you say, recommend the 20 minutes is enough? And she still goes on, because I could never survive on a 20-minute nap and my training would really suffer. But so many people say a long nap isn't beneficial,
Yeah, well, I've obviously been through this before where you're doing the getting up really early and then you coaching late at night. So, it's just you just don't have like a window, right? Like you pretty much, there's like 8 or 9 hours between being at work, coaching clients. So, with when you actually add up like travel time and eating, like you've pretty much got like the 6-5 hour kind of range left for sleep. And the best experience I found for it is, yeah, you just try and basically you've missed out on like one sleep cycle. So like a normal sleep cycle is like an hour and a half. So on a normal night, you aim for 5 sleep cycles. Usually with these situations, like you only get 4. And if you time it for 4, often you still don't feel too bad. But if you like are still dragging, I find it best when you can just catch up that whole sleep cycle. And that usually takes like an hour and 40 minutes out of 45 minutes because it takes like 10, 15 minutes to fall asleep. And then you have the full hour and a half. I find if you go over that, it's a disaster because you get into the second sleep cycle and then it's like literally such a bad pain coming out of that.
It's horrible.
Or if you go too short and it's like 45 minutes and you come out of the middle of the first one, same again. I almost feel like I never recover from that. Like the rest of my day is like, I'm just, it's so bad. So much better than not having it at all. So it's either like you go less than 20 or you go for that like hour 45 mark and try and hit it nail on the head. But I think that's best.
I agree. The only thing I'll add on to it is when you choose to have the nap, sorry, the location you choose to have the nap should not be your bed, because your bed, you know, there's so much unconscious and non-conscious activity that your brain associates different environments with, and when you get into bed and you normally sleep 8 hours, your body is going to try and sleep longer, and that's not what you want. So I recommend sleeping on something like the couch or maybe sleeping on the floor, something that's not quite as comfortable as your bed. That's maybe you've got a little more daylight coming in so that you're way less likely to end up in the scenario that you just mentioned, Raph, that's like the horrible deep into the second cycle. Bad. That's like the ultimate danger zone. Just write the fucking rest of the day off, right? Your brain is like on slow motion.
Yeah. And they've done that with studies, like the different lengths. And when people get pulled out of a sleep cycle from a nap, they're so much worse than just the people that were sleep deprived and didn't have a nap.
Yeah. So just be super aware of that. I think that's something you probably already know as well. And yeah, I think just in general, for anyone that's thinking that they can like take, basically accumulate debt over the whole week from Monday to Friday and think they can pay it back on Saturday, Sunday, it doesn't work. The research gives you basically 24 hours to pay it back.
Yeah, it's pretty much the next night. So if you have a short night's sleep, you can generally pay it back the next night's sleep.
Yeah.
But it's not like if you miss 5 sleep cycles, one every day for 5 days,
and you just add them all up.
Add 5 sleep cycles. It's not how it works.
It's not maths, people. Yeah. It's biology.
I think macros, I mean, nutrition can kind of work that way, right? You can kind of not eat for 3 days, and then you can make up the macros in the next 3 days.
It's closer.
Yeah. And
from what we think.
Yeah. And you can. It seems like you can maintain your weight, you know, fasting and not. Sleeping is different, unfortunately, to fasting.
Yeah. Don't do that. But yeah, if you know that the next sleep that you go to make it up in is not going to be able to make it up, then the nap is your only option.
Yeah.
And you should absolutely take that nap.
100%.
All right. So we're going to jump into the listener. Sorry, not the listener. We'll finish the listener questions. We're going to jump into the movie this week. I didn't get a chance to see the movie, but Raph, you crushed this movie.
Okay. Little Miss Sumo. It's on Netflix. It's a Netflix like original, I guess that's what they call it. Banned from competing professionally. Female sumo wrestler, champion Hiyori, will have to retire at the age of 21. Fighting tradition, Hiyori embarks on a remarkable journey, confronting obstacles, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, she's doing sumo wrestling.
Fighting obstacles, standing up for blah, 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 blah.
And so it's actually not too long. It's probably like 25 minutes.
Oh, okay.
It's like an original on it. And yeah, it's about like a female sumo wrestler in Japan. I knew nothing about sumo wrestling. And it was like pretty cool. Like it's a pretty hardcore sport.
So hardcore.
Because what I didn't realize about sumo wrestling is that the ground is so hard. So the ground is like, you know, it's like hard ground they're wrestling on. So then what happens is like people get flipped and it's like a very heavy body landing on another heavy body on a really hard ground. So like when their head hits the floor.
We have a word for it. It's called cement. Concrete.
I don't think it's concrete.
What else is hard ground?
I don't know. I feel like it was just like earth. Like it was just like flat earth. Like no dirt. Grass. Yeah, like it's dirt. Yeah, because there's lots of sand and stuff.
Wow, we're gonna figure this out right now. But yeah,
you probably Google what it is. But it's like quite sandy and just very hard. So it's like a lot of heads hitting down very, very hard.
What I say, material for
floor ground of sumo wrestling match.
Sumo wrestling platform.
Yeah, and. So anyway, it seems like in Japan, basically you can sumo wrestle when you're very young. Women and men do it.
But oh, here we go. It is a rice straw bales on top of a platform made of clay mixed with sand.
Yeah, wow.
There you go.
It's hard. Clay is hard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's like pretty savage. It's like much harder than like a soccer field or something, right? Where it's like sort of soft grass underneath you.
Mm.
Anyway, so it's pretty hardcore sport. And it's quite interesting. So basically just like kind of a bit about her training, trying to fight the system. The downside of this documentary is that it has like the worst voiceovers you've ever heard. Like it's so bad. Like,
oh, they've done the dubs?
Oh, nah, it's not dubbed. It's just like she'll say something in Japanese and then it'll have this like American voiceover. It's like so painful because it's like a different, you know, it would be like you're watching a Japanese person, this Italian person comes on like, ah! Like it would kill it. And that's literally what it's like. The voice is so far from the person that's saying it. Often in the Netflix originals, it's so good, you almost don't even know what they're speaking, right? It's like an incredible dub. This voiceover is just, you have to go on and just watch it just to hear the voiceover. And like when her coach speaks, like you're just laughing. You're like, that's not how an old Japanese man sounds in any way. It's not a Japanese person doing the voiceover. Anyway, right. So that just like, it killed it.
Right.
Literally killed it, how bad it was. But it's pretty cool. She goes to like a world championship in sumo wrestling. And takes on like the Russians and Ukrainians. All I'm thinking on is like how much steroids are these Russian women on? Anyway, it's pretty interesting.
Is she as fat as the male sumo wrestlers?
They're very fat. And the funny thing about sumo wrestlers is like they constantly make fun of themselves for being fat.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, I'm so fat. Like, I'm too fat to get it. I'm too fat. Which is like pretty funny. But they're very athletic, clearly. And she's got some cool gym training stuff and flexible. Like, they're so flexible.
Yeah.
Crazy. Just like hitting splits.
Well, like, they do those crazy, like, they lift their leg up at the start. Yeah. They do the stomping thing.
The stomping.
Their fucking knees up by their ear.
Yeah. They're like, they're serious athletes. They must eat so much food to maintain it. And she's like out there, like still fat, like running up sand hills and snow hills and stuff. And yeah, taking on literally the woman that she goes against from Russia is the biggest woman I've ever seen. She's like 6'7". Yep. She's like a foot tall and huge. She must have been like 130, 140. Because this is like the biggest weight class of sumo wrestling. And it's just crazy. The guys are like out of this world big, but the girls are still really big as well.
Wait, how tall are the guys? Not 6'7".
I don't know. I actually don't know. Okay. You just see some of the guys and they dwarf, not the Russian girl, but the Japanese one.
Right.
But yeah, but they made a deal about it. Like the Russian girl was a foot taller than her. Like,
yeah,
she was absolutely out of this world. Huge.
Don't spoil it. If they go to war right now.
So anyway, pretty good documentary to learn a little bit about that. But it could have been a lot better. Voiceovers could have been a lot bigger. And like nothing really happens in terms of getting social change in Japan. Like they still just only allow males to do it professionally.
Yeah.
It's banned. So she's like banned. She's banned to continue the sport after the age of 21.
That doesn't surprise me, bro. Japan have very strict rules.
Yeah. Strict rules in all senses. So because of the voiceover, I'm going to give us a 2 out of 5.
Oh God, I'm not watching it.
I would love to see like a better sumo wrestling documentary. I would watch it in a heartbeat.
There is like a sumo wrestling thing that I've watched before. I either watched it or someone was telling me about it, but it has this story of this kid that tried sumo wrestling and it's really...
Japanese?
Yeah. It's a really brutal indoctrination into sumo wrestling. It's like most people never make it in because it's like kind of like a hazing almost. And I think there was an article about it and this kid died in the hazing.
They're tough, hey?
Because they slammed him up against the wall so many times that they killed him.
Oh my God.
Yeah. He was just going in for a trial. Like fucking day one, hey, I'm thinking about being a sumo. They're like, yeah, cool, let's see if you can like withstand.
Day one. Jesus.
Dude, like savage.
Yeah.
Savage. It's like trial by fire. It's like Navy SEALs, basically.
It looks so tough.
Navy SEALs, but with like heaps of dumplings and lots of sweaty fat dudes.
How many calories do you reckon they eat? They must eat more than probably the top strongmen just because they carry more fat. They must be getting up to the 15,000, 16,000 calories.
Well, they're like trying to get fat.
Yeah.
Yeah, whereas like strongmen are, they're trying to gain muscle.
Yeah. And it's just, if fat comes with it.
Yeah. Hmm. I don't know. That's a good question. I wonder. I don't think it would be as crazy as what we think. I don't know if it'd be like 50,000 calories a day.
No, it's not.
But they'd have some like, I reckon they would have some serious like, they would watch the YouTube videos of 10,000 calorie challenge. Like they'd watch the My Muscle Project 10,000 calorie challenge. As like comedy. as comedy. They'd like all gather around. They're like, boys, 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 check out these boys in Australia with this podcast. Look how skinny he is. Can't even eat 10,000 calories. That would be the sumo. That's their downtime. That's their recreational time.
Okay, well, on this website, it says, typical sumo wrestler, it's a daily diet of 20,000 calories.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I was going to say like 15,000.
Yeah, I was going to say 15,000.
Yeah.
There's a few. Oh, but oh my god, this guy is so big.
Look at those titties, bro.
They are huge. Now it actually doesn't surprise me.
You know what? Maybe one day we'll get a sumo on the podcast. That would be cool. That would be something different.
Oh, dude, look at this. He does it in two meals.
What?
Two 10,000 calorie meals.
Fuck.
It's he like skips breakfast. Like he skips breakfast.
Some Rob Lipset
day starts
shit.
At 4 or 5 o'clock with training exercises. Breakfast is not served. They usually don't eat until 11 a.m. and they eat a 10,000 calorie lunch.
Fuck. Is there a YouTube video of a sumo wrestler eating a meal?
No, but that's going to be our review for next week. Two meals, 10,000 calories per meal.
That's crazy.
We are a joke to them. Dude, what we both ate in that day across like 12 meals, they eat by themselves in two meals.
That's crazy.
Fuck.
We are pathetic. But we're normal. Mm. We're normal. We're not going to die of obesity and diabetes and heart attacks.
I feel like there's another sumo wrestler documentary out there we're going to watch and review because there's more to this story.
If you guys have one, just send it to us. All right, guys, we talked about some awesome companies today. True Coach as well as True Protein. Everything we talked about is in the description of this episode. If you liked the episode, of course, let us know. Send us a message, screenshot it, share it on your Instagram. But guys, for this week, that is all. Thank you so much, and we'll speak to you soon.